Well, I think I have the right weekend. Super Bowl Sunday is here, yes? I'm glad you're here this morning. You know, because millions upon millions of people, right? They're going to be watching the game. Watching the game, and in the end, one team will be crowned the world champions, right? And the other team will be crowned, well, they won't be crowned, what? They'll be the losers, right? I mean, it's amazing, isn't it, how it goes after the game? One team will be celebrating, the other team will be, well, dejected, depressed. I don't know how they walk off the field, and you can see it on their faces, right? So you have the winners, and you have the losers. And life has its share of winners and losers in all kinds of competitions, right? I mean, including those for jobs, for prestige, for the right spouse, for grades, and on and on and on. In all of these, we either win or we lose, at least as the world counts winning or losing. But do we see the winners as ones who are blessed? And the losers as those who missed out on a blessing? The blessings of the Beatitudes, the blessings that we heard today, the blessings pronounced by Jesus, well, they don't come to those we expect. Jesus turns our understandings of blessings upside down. If we were to write, heck, I mean, you know, if we were to write a book on blessings according to the teachings of Jesus, and we wrote it from the secular world's perspective, the title could very well be The Irrational Teachings, Bankrupt Beatitudes. Maybe you all are fooling me. Maybe you all have them up on your window, I mean, your mirror of your bathroom, and you do exactly those every single day? I'd have a hard time. I don't think I'd get an A on that. Right? I mean, Jesus turns them upside down. And whenever we hear the Beatitudes, I think we're struck by, I mean, they're poetic, they're beautiful, but at the same time, we kind of perceive they're impractical in the world, in which we live. I mean, we admire the instructions, but we fear the implications of putting the words into actual practice. I mean, we live in a time when the blessings given to those who succeed, often at the expense of others. But to be poor in spirit and peaceful and meek, well, where's it going to get you in a culture grounded in competition and fear? Perhaps this is why most references to the Beatitudes, they imply that in giving this instruction, Jesus was literally turning the values of the world upside down. For who can survive in attempting to live into the spirit of the Beatitudes? Well, the answer resides not in their impracticality, but in their practicality. For I think we often approach them as in this impossible challenge for ordinary living. And so only the greatest saints can live up to the task, right? And so, and therefore, we wait for the occasional figure like a Martin Luther King Jr. or a Dorothy Day or a Desmond Tutu to show us the way to do this. And in the meantime, well, the world doesn't get any better. And we remain unfulfilled in our pale expressions, as it were, of our Christian discipleship. I think the truth is that Jesus meant the Beatitudes to be for everyone. And the question is, how then can such a task be accomplished in our time? The living daily into the spirit of the Beatitudes, it involves looking at them, I think, as a collection of the whole. I think oftentimes we take one out by itself and say, oh my gosh, you know, but if we look at them as a whole, each, we see that each is related to the others and that they build on top of each other. For those who are meek, which means humble, those who are humble, they're more likely to hunger and thirst for righteousness because they remain open to continued knowledge of God. They don't know everything. Just that's one example. And if we approach the Beatitudes in this way, we see they invite us into a way of being in the world that leads to particular practices. And I want to suggest that there are three principles for living into the spirit of the Beatitudes. And they are simplicity and hopefulness and compassion. And these three principles allow us to be in the world while not being totally shaped by it. We offer an alternative to what the world seems to be pursuing. So responding to Jesus' instruction, simplicity has little to do with the lack of sophistication. I mean, simplicity has to do with hearing the words of Jesus for what they are, not what we would prefer them to be. We might say that we're open to hearing this teaching for what it simply is, rather than layering it with our own prejudices and our subjectivity. And that would include the prejudice of already deciding that the task at hand is impossible. Soren Kierkegaard, the Danish philosopher, he made reference to the importance of hearing the gospel in a, as he called it, primitive way, which is to say, stripped of the refinements that we often bring to a difficult text in order to avoid its meaning. If we can get lost in the abstractions and the academic conversations and discussions about, well, what does it really mean? To approach the Beatitudes simply is to hear the words clearly, without prejudice, and to know that the words are spoken directly to us. We do receive more courage than fear when we hear Jesus saying, "You are blessed in this life whenever you demonstrate humility, bring a peaceful presence, open your heart to others, and show mercy on those who cry for it." Hearing Jesus' words simply spoken, it's the first principle for living into the spirit of the Beatitudes. I think there's little disagreement on the lack of hopefulness in our world today. The distinguished theologian Jürgen Moltmann, he states that the death knell of the church is when the overall attitude moves from anger to cynicism. Now, cynicism is different than anger. A cynic has decided to accept whatever is, regardless of the consequences. Cynicism offers little hope that things will get any better. The cynic's mantra is, don't worry about it. That's just the way things are. You'll get used to it. The Beatitudes invite us to the opposite perspective, which is hopefulness. We place our hope on Christ, who offered hope to the hopeless. And thus, we're able to approach the world with a spirit of hope, even when the outward signs indicate otherwise. When we are hopeful, we stand in the world sure of the possibility that the day will come when mercy and humility and peace and love are the description of what is meant to be. So the third principle of Beatitude living is compassion. Now, compassion is not associated with either pity or sympathy. It goes a lot deeper than that. To have pity on another person means that you feel sorry for them. And sympathy means that you understand what the other person is experiencing, and so you offer some advice. So it's not that. The late author and theologian Henry Nouwen, he defines compassion as growing in the inner recognition that your neighbor and you share a common humanity. This human connection, it cuts through all walls that we might erect or that might keep us separate, across all barriers of land or language, of wealth and poverty, knowledge and ignorance. We're all connected. We are distinct. Clearly, each of us is different, but more importantly, we share the gift of being created in God's image. Compassion knows that we're one human family. We're in it together, intimately connected. Compassion is walking in his or her shoes. So living into the spirit of the Beatitudes with a commitment to simplicity and hopefulness and compassion is something that we all can do. Something we all can do. And in the process, we discover that it's not irrational teachings at all. It is actually the only truly rational approach to living that there is. All of our scripture readings today, the two we heard, and the epistle reading, the psalm reading, and our lectionary, they lead us on a journey toward a vision beautiful. A vision beautiful with God not only at its center, but God at every turn, at every point. Upsetting our expectations and challenging us to take another step deeper into the mystery of divine presence dwelling in our world and bringing heaven on earth, God is calling us to follow Christ, the Beloved, into the world to engage in a lifetime of faithful, extravagant, creative, courageous, community-building love. Amen.